please turn in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7. Okay, if you've got a Bible, it's great. If you've not brought one with you this morning, let me encourage you to bring that. Okay, or if you've got a tablet or whatever it is that you look, read your Bible on. I will have the words above me, but yeah, it's great if you could read along. Now, young people, just while the grown-ups are turning there, let me fill you in a little bit on what the grown-ups have been listening to while you guys have been in Explorers the last few weeks. God's city, a place called Jerusalem, had been destroyed. And the Bible tells us that that had been destroyed because God's people had turned against him. And God had sent these people away for 70 years. 70 years. Okay, years and years and years. They'd gone. They'd been sent away. But then they'd come back. And they were told to come back and rebuild the city, but especially to rebuild God's temple in Jerusalem. It might have looked a little bit like something like that. Last week, if you were here, they completed the rebuild and they had a great big celebration. I'm sure you guys all heard about that last week, unless Arian did something wildly different, but I assume that's what he did. That's what I asked him to do, anyway. So that happened last week. Let me tell you what happens next. 60 years have now passed. 60. Yeah. I'm not going to ask if there's any 60-year-olds in the room, but 60 years have gone by since last week. Now let me read what happens next in Ezra chapter 7. After these things, during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Bucky, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the chief priest. This Ezra, came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Some of the Israelites, including priests, Levites, musicians, gatekeepers, and temple servants, also came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in the fifth month of the seventh year of the king. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. This is God's word to us this morning. I'm going to ask Tricia and Esther and Rachel if they will come back to us. They'll sing before we think about these verses. They're going to sing, "There's No Other Book Like the Bible." It's based on some very famous verses in the book of 2 Timothy that tell us some of the ways that we can understand God's word. So they're going to sing, and then we'll look again at Ezra chapter 7. Don't mind me, I've just got some setting up to do, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Righty. It's up to you. Stay if you want. No. The creche are just about to go out. That's what I... Now, boys and girls, grown-ups, you sitting up, ready to listen? Bible's open, Ezra 7, brilliant. Okay, now, here's a real treat for you this morning. This is a picture of me when I was a little boy. Okay? That is me, believe it or not. Full head of hair. As a little boy. From as long as I can remember, people have been telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Bible, telling me what it means to be one of his followers and telling me what it means to follow him. Here's a picture of my mum and dad. They were the ones, first of all, I think, as far as I can remember, who taught me about the Lord Jesus using the Bible, who told me what it meant to be one of his followers. Here's a really special picture. This is my granddad. And if you see it, I don't know how well you can see the picture there, but there, he's teaching other people about the Lord Jesus, Bible in hand. He's doing it as something we used to call an open ear, okay, many moons ago. Double glazing, I think, probably put an end to those, but he's teaching people from the Bible about the Lord Jesus, what it means to be one of his followers. There's a picture of Trisha and I on our wedding day. Trisha's the one wearing white, okay? When we got married, we were part of a local church where the pastor taught us from the Bible what it was to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. One of my jobs that I've got at this local church as a pastor here is to teach young and old, boys and girls, men, women, all about the Lord Jesus Christ from the Bible. It doesn't mean for a moment that I've stopped learning, not at all, because there's lots of people here who teach me about the Lord Jesus using the Bible, and I'm going to learn all through my life. But let me teach you something that has been true all of my life, okay? All my life so far, and I suspect all of my life to come. I'm going to put these words up on the screen. Up on my board. Okay. I hope you can all see that. But it says that God's people, Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus, need God's word workers to teach us God's way. That's the big thing. All through my life, that's been true. And I know it'll be true for as long as I've got to live. That God's people, Christians, some of us, need God's word workers to teach us God's way. I thought up some actions. I hope that you'll do them with me. It says this, God's people, excellent, okay? Need God's word workers to teach us God's way. God's people need God's word workers to teach us God's way. I'm going to let you do that on your own, okay? On three. One, two, three. Okay, we're not supposed to do this very loudly, but I want to see a wee bit more, okay? I'm looking for more. All right, on three. One, two, three. Brilliant, fantastic. Now, what does that mean? It means that if we want to follow the Lord Jesus, if we want to know what it means to follow the Lord Jesus, we are going to need people to teach us, maybe a parent, maybe a Christian, maybe a Christian who's a bit older than us, maybe a friend. But we need them to teach us from the Bible what it means to be a follower of Jesus. God's people, us, we all need God's word workers to teach us God's way. Let me introduce you today to Ezra. He is one of God's word workers. Okay? Ezra is one of God's word workers. He was going to teach God's people in his day. And that was about 500 years before the Lord Jesus was born. He was going to teach God's people how to live God's way, because he was one of God's word workers and he was really good at it. Let me tell you some things about Ezra, God's word worker. First of all, he was from a very special family. Does anyone know what one of these things is called? A family tree. Now, you may be scratching your head thinking, what is a family tree? Has anyone done this at school? Anyone done anything like that? Some of the older ones at the back remember doing that at school. You might not have got to this yet. Maybe they don't do it. Who knows? But it basically said, oh, this is my family. This is my brothers and sisters, if you've got any. Or this is my mum and dad or my grandparents. And eventually, when you put it all together, it looked a bit like a tree. It's called a family tree. Ezra was from a very special family. Right at the start of chapter 7, you might have noticed a list of names. Let me read you some of them. Ezra was the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom. And so it goes on. It goes back. His dad, his granddad, his great-granddad, and it keeps going back. It's telling us that Ezra was from a special family. He was one of God's priests. And it mattered that you came from a certain family. And so Ezra tells us his family tree. This special family of priests had a number of jobs to do. But grown-ups, if you look at verse 6, it tells us that they had to know the Bible really well. Why? Because part of the job of a priest was to teach God's people God's way. They were supposed to be word workers. And as we all know, God's people need to God's way. Yeah, great. Let me tell you something else about Ezra. He studied God's word. Okay? He studied God's word. When I was growing up, I loved to read about detectives. And detectives in the old day, it seems, always had a magnifying glass. They were like policemen, and if there had been a robbery or a burglary, you would call, and the detective would get out his magnifying glass, and he'd look for clues about who did it, and he'd look for fingerprints. Anyone remember that? Yeah, a few people. I don't know. They probably have a DNA kit nowadays, wouldn't they? But in those days, there were detectives looking for clues, and they would go over and they would look very closely. Word workers were told, study God's word very, very carefully. In fact, verse 10 tells us that Ezra devoted himself to the study of God's word. He looked at it really closely, really carefully. He spent time learning about the Bible so that he could teach others. When we build Lego at home, nowadays, if you're out of touch with the Lego world, you get little booklets like this, step-by-step guides on how to build things. Sometimes when I'm helping to build these things, I have to study these books very, very hard. And I've got to make sure that I've got the angle right and I'm on the right page. And sometimes I've got to go back and say, oh, I didn't do that right. You've got to study the books. Some of our younger people who are a bit older than that, They've got exams, or they've had exams, or they've got exams coming up, and they have to study. They have to look at all that they've been taught, and they've got to look at it again really hard, and some of them have to learn, it seems like, their whole course again. They've got to study. Ezra studied God's word, the Bible, so that he could teach others how to live God's way. But he didn't just look at it and read it and studied it. He obeyed it. He obeyed it himself. See that? Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do God's word. That's what Ezra was. Verse 10 again says Ezra devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord. That means he obeyed what the Bible said himself. Many nights at tea time in our house, I've got to say something like, eat your vegetables. Anyone else ever been told that they have to eat their vegetables? Anyone? Few people have been told it. And I suspect that when my kids have kids, they'll have to tell their kids, eat your vegetables, eat your peas, eat your carrots. Now, quietly, okay? I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes I don't eat my vegetables. Okay? I know it. I'm sorry, Jamie. Confession time. Okay? Sometimes I don't eat my vegetable. Now, you would think, if it's good for my family to eat vegetables, then surely I should eat vegetables. When Ezra was telling people, teaching God's people, God wants you to live this way, he was doing what he said. He practiced what he preached. So if he was saying to people, God wants you guys to tell the truth, Ezra wasn't then going and telling a bunch of lies to people. He was telling the truth. When Ezra said things like, hey, we've got to worship God, he wasn't turning around saying, well, all those people can worship God. I'm going to do my own thing. When Ezra studied and read what the Bible said and taught it to others, he did it himself. He wasn't like one of those people who say, well, I think you should do that, but I'm not going to do it. No, he did it. A couple more things. We learned, didn't we, that he taught it to others. Anyone remember this guy? A few people. Let me explain if you don't know who this is. In the very early years of computing, back in the 90s, the early 2000s, if you did something that the computer didn't want you to, or didn't think was making much sense, this guy would pop up on your screen and he'd say something patronizing like, did you mean to do that? That's right, isn't it? Yeah, remember this guy? I can't remember what his name is. Someone will know it. But this guy would appear on your screen and he'd say, maybe you'd like to do this instead. Or maybe you'd like to do that. This guy was a bit annoying, but he was a bit like a teacher. Because he would say, I don't think you meant to do that. Let me show you what you meant to do. God's word workers teach us how to live for God. As God's people rebuilt his temple, they then had to learn what it was to live as God's people again. What does God want me to do in this situation and that situation? How does God want me to live at school? How does God want me to behave, you know, with my brother or sister? Does he want me getting really angry and smacking them? They had to learn. Now, without God's word being taught to them, if people just had to figure it out on their own, well, I'm not sure that would have went so well. Because what happens when I try and build Lego without the instructions? It never looks anything like what I'm trying to build. It's always a bit of a disaster. God's people need God's word workers to teach us God's way. Last thing we're taught about Ezra is this. He was sent. He was sent. I'll find a space up here. Okay? He was sent. That's just an envelope. In his day, Ezra's day, a powerful king called Artaxerxes, this is what the second half of Ezra 7 is about. A powerful king called King Artaxerxes said to Ezra, you've got to leave here, Babylon, and I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to teach the people what it means to live for God. Behind it all, God was sending Ezra to teach his people what it means to live his way. Ezra was a gift from God to help his people live for God, because God's people need. Okay, we'll try that. Because what do God's people need? God's people. Fantastic. Now, boys and girls, grown-ups, wouldn't it be great if we'd someone like Ezra today? a word worker from God. Because we're God's people, we still need to know what it means to live God's way. Wouldn't it be great to have a word worker to teach us what it means to live God's way? I'm not talking about me, thankfully. We have, the Bible says, a word worker from a special family who knew his Bible better than anyone, who taught people like no one else ever did, who always obeyed what God's word said. Someone who God sent to teach his people what it means to live for him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest word worker there's ever been. The one that we really need to listen to when he speaks. The one that if we're ever confused about how does God want me to live here and now, we just need to look at him. And he shows us and tells us what that means. The Lord Jesus is a better word worker than Ezra. He was from a special family. Not a family, not the same family as Ezra. The Lord Jesus was from a family of kings. He had a special job to bring us back to God's family, to rescue us from our sins by dying on the cross for all the wrong things that we've done. When he was on earth, the Lord Jesus knew his Bible better than anyone else. He always obeyed what the Bible said. Ezra would have sinned. He was a regular guy, man, just as much as I am. And so I presume that he would have sinned as much as anyone else. But the Lord Jesus always obeyed what his Father wanted. The Lord Jesus never sinned. He always showed us what it means to live for God. When he taught the Bible to others, people were amazed. They said things like, we've never heard anything like this. It was as if God had turned up and taught the people what his Bible really meant, because that's exactly what happened. And he was sent. Most amazing of all, not just as a brilliant word worker, but to forgive our sins, to bring us back into God's family by dying on a cross for each one of us. He commands all of us to ask him to forgive our sins. He says to us, you're guilty before God. You've done so many wrong things in God's eyes. You need to be forgiven. And the way to do it is to ask him for it. And as we do that, as we ask him to forgive our sins, he starts to change us. Because we start to want to do God's way. And he'll help us to do it every single day. He changes us so that we want to live for God. What's the big thing that we've been learning this morning? Okay, 1, 2, 3. God's people need God's word workers to teach us God's way. We're nearly done. You might be thinking, Dougie, aren't you one of God's word workers? Yes. Yeah, I am. So are the explorer leaders and the crash leaders and lots of other people. God still gives to local churches word workers to teach us God's way. And I would say to you, only the Lord Jesus is perfect. And only listen to me in as much as that I'm telling you about him and I'm pointing you to him and that my life is reflecting his life. Now, what are we supposed to do? It's dead simple. Brilliant. Whoever said it, listen. We're supposed to listen to God's word workers as they're teaching us God's way. Remember I said about the Lego booklet, what happens if I don't follow the instructions? I build a pile of Lego, but it doesn't look like a race car or a truck or whatever it is I'm trying to build. It's silly not to listen to the instructions. When Ezra goes to Jerusalem as God's word worker to teach God's people how to live God's way, when he gets there, they start to listen and it changes them. Because Ezra says to them, we'll learn this over the coming weeks, that the people have not lived God's way. And when they hear that, they're so sad. There's tears. They say sorry to God. And they start to listen to God's way. They start to live God's way. How do we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've got to listen to what he says. And when he says, turn from your sins and come follow me, we've got to do just that. And if you've never listened and done that, you can do that today by saying, Lord Jesus, you're right. I've not been listening, but I am a sinner and I need you to forgive my sins. Please, would you forgive me? I want to live your way. If you are a follower of Jesus, we need to listen to what God's word workers are teaching us to live God's way. At school, one of the ways we do that, well, he wants your friends to hear about the Lord Jesus. They might not have anyone else who knows him except you. You might be the word worker in your school. Will you be brave? He'll help you to do it. Will you speak about him there? Do you often get angry at your brother and sister? I used to when I was a bit younger. You say, you're really angry at my brother. He helps us to say sorry. The Lord Jesus helps us to be patient with them and to treat them better. Do you find yourself getting dragged into stuff with your friends that you know to be wrong and you know that upset God? So did people in Ezra's day. But as the people listened, God changed them and helped them to live his way. Boys and girls, grown-ups, all God's people, all of us, me included, me especially, we need God's word workers to teach us to live God's way. Will we listen? Shall we do the actions one more time, just so that we remember? Okay, 1, 2, 3. God's people need God's word workers to teach us God's way. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the greatest word worker of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not just to teach us, but to die for us and rise again from the dead for us, that we might be changed to live for you. Father, please help us this week to listen, to live your way, to trust that that is the best way to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.